The world is holding its breath as it anticipates the opening of another US-led war in the Middle East, one set to ignite a regional fire with dark consequences. On this edition of The Debate, we ask the fateful question, who could have been behind the recent deadly chemical attack in Syria, and whether a foreign military strike would help protect the lives its supporters say they're concerned about.
Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Muallim addressed a press conference in Damascus at a time the West is threatening Syria with military strike. The minister said such a strike would primarily serve Israeli interests and al-Qaeda-linked al-Nusra Front. The minister said his U.S. counterpart asked him during a phone call to allow the United Nations chemical experts team to directly visit eastern al-Ghouta.
I told the U.S. foreign minister that work will be carried out in accordance to Syria's national interest. And then the phone call ended cordially. Now I'm saying to John Kerry that we are not the one blocking the work of the experts, and the guarantees given to you by armed groups are not solid.
The minister reiterated that the Syrian government fully cooperates with the United Nations chemical experts team and is committed to their security in the areas controlled by government forces. He said allegations of Damascus use of chemical weapons are just pretext to strike Syria.
If countries accusing the Syrian armed forces of using chemical weapons have proof of such a use, I dare them to present such evidence in front of their public opinion. I challenge them.
Al-Muallim insisted that the Syrian armed forces will continue their operations in eastern al-Ghouta, pointing out that they aim to block armed groups from invading Damascus and protect the residents of the city from the mortars falling on them. According to the foreign minister, the United Nations experts were not able to enter the second area in Damascus suburbs because of fighting among various armed groups. The UN said the team postponed the visit for security reasons. On Monday, the experts were escorted by Syrian government forces to Al-Mu'addamiyah area when their vehicle was shot near the line separating them with militant-controlled soil. The United Nations and the Syrian government had reached an agreement for allowing the experts to visit four new areas in eastern Al-Ghouta near Damascus. With Western countries threatening to overstep the United Nations mandate and launch a military strike against Syria, the country seems to be witnessing decisive times. Nevertheless, the government made it clear that it is capable of confronting any attack, promising countries who would strike with many surprises. Hamad Ali, Press TV, Damascus.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is Mr. Charlie Wolfe. He's a writer and broadcaster, and with us live from Madison, Dr. Kevin Barrett, an author and Middle East expert. Welcome to the program, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Charlie Wolfe. Mr. Wolfe, despite the fact that there is no solid evidence about the chemical attack near Damascus, at least evidence that's been presented to the world, the West, we're seeing its regional allies, are preparing to attack Syria, which could be said is this is based on suspicions, at least up until now, and not on facts. I mean, we had the White House spokesman saying that an intelligence assessment has been made and more information will be given to the public, but is an assessment the same as evidence?
Well, I think the fact that there's all these dead bodies piled up, I think, is pretty well facts on the ground. I think there's no disputing that they died of chemical warfare. And this is not a first. Chemical weapons have been used before. So I think we're in a position where action needs to be taken. Let's not forget, again, looking at this from a slightly wider perspective, when the President of the United States makes a red wine assessment, says that this is a red line and it shall not be crossed or there will
be. Well, the question here would be, Mr. Wolfe, if I could just.
It has to happen.
If I could just add here of who used these weapons. I mean, how can we conclude now that these weapons were used by the government and not the other side?
I think it's pretty clear, and I think the United States probably has intelligence that they're not going to share at the present time, though the White House says they will explain more. And I think, again, in lieu of what's happened in the past with Iraq, Mr. Obama is not going to make the same mistakes maybe that past White Houses have made, and we'll make sure he's a bit more clear. I think, you know, it's a pretty safe bet to think that this has been done by the Assad regime. And I think the other problem is that the United Nations, again, looking back to Iraq, if you remember when the inspectors came in, that was more of a kabuki dance. And I think that's what's happening now. For instance, the debate here in the last couple of days has been, well, we need to give the UN more time to investigate, almost as if this happened yesterday, when in fact it's happened 5-6 days ago, and the United Nations hasn't been able to get in because the Assad forces have been pounding the area and shelling the area. So again, this is a kabuki dance, and the United Nations inspectors almost
wrong. The Israeli al-Qaeda forces can't come up with some sort
of evidence. Okay, now, Mr. Wolf, you did make a couple of points then. I was going to bring you in, Mr. Barrett, on the points that was made there. First of all, about who could have used these weapons. Apparently, the assessment, according to Washington, is based on the idea that the Syrian government has a large stockpile of chemical arms, that the insurgents don't have the capability to launch this kind of an attack. But there are people who are asking, couldn't the insurgents have been provided with the arms? And the question there that Mr. Wolf was also putting, what's your response to that?
Well, the WikiLeaks documents showed that high-level Western so-called security consultants and mercenary firms were planning as early as last spring to launch a false flag chemical attack in Syria, blame it on the Assad government, and use that as a pretext to invade Syria. And that appears to be exactly what has happened. In this case, Mr. Rose is very badly misinformed if he thinks that the reason that the UN inspection team was turned back when they reached the so-called rebel-held area was because they came under fire from the Syrian government that was escorting them. I'm sorry, sir, but they came under fire from the al-Qaeda Israeli-sponsored rebels
they
who launched this chemical weapons attack. How do we know that?
We know
that because the Israelis spoke up just a few minutes after the attack and blamed it on Assad and laid out their preferred roadmap to what should follow. This is what the Israelis do every time they launch a major false flag attack. They get on the television, just like Ehud Barak got on television just minutes after the planes hit the buildings on 9/11. He was already in the BBC studio blaming al-Qaeda, calling for a
quote-unquote war on terror, telling the U.S.
to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. Okay. So there's no question that in this case we're seeing the biggest Israeli false flag attack since 9/11, and it is designed to accelerate this move towards World War III so that the Israelis can flee forward into World War to cover their tracks for the 9/11 inside job, and they're being exposed even today.
Russia, China are stepping forward and saying that this was a false flag attack.
This was not done by Syria.
But Mr. Wolf, if I could just put in this
question here. this is a bit ridiculous. Okay, I'm sorry, the level of debate is getting a bit on the ridiculous side.
Now,
Mr. Barrett
wants to be
a truther, and I think it's ridiculous to state that Israel
wants
to
you think
World
the chemical weapons story in Iraq was true when George Bush invaded?
You honestly have to offer a little bit better than conspiracy theories. I know that's what you peddle for a living, but I mean, seriously, we have to do better than that. I'm sure Israel was probably very quick on
this idea that the Syrian government would use chemical weapons and cross the red line exactly at the moment the chemical weapons inspectors arrived in Syria is the worst kind of conspiracy theory. If you believe that Assad would use chemical weapons at the exact moment that the weapons inspectors arrived in Syria, you're out of your mind. You probably believed that Iraq had chemical weapons when Bush and Colin Powell were assuring us that they did, and that was a big lie, and this is a big lie, and you, sir, are a big liar, and you are arguably a war criminal for encouraging a war that could lead to World War III and propagandizing for war crimes.
You should be ashamed of yourself, sir. Mr. Barrett, you're a silly man. You're a silly man.
You're propagandizing for mass murder.
Could we?
Okay, gentlemen, if I could just put this question to Mr. Wolf here. Now, Mr. Wolf, just to get on track.
You haven't started debating rationally yet, but I'm willing to listen if you want to start.
Shut it, Mr. Barrett, okay? I want to hear her question.
Okay, Mr. Wolf, now the question here is, those who are saying, let's look at the reasons why any of these sides would want to launch a chemical attack. A lot of people there, as Mr. Barrett was suggesting, would say Syria did have no interest, you know, to launch this kind of chemical attack at this sensitive juncture. They're saying it was gaining ground against the militants. It knew that that's a red line, and that if it does use chemical weapons at that large scale, it would lead to military intervention, which it wouldn't want. So what is the logic behind Syria launching this attack? Whereas the insurgents could use this kind of an attack as the proper pretext to bring in that intervention that's going to help them.
Well, a couple points. One off, when you're dealing with someone like an Assad or a Saddam Hussein, or people of that ilk, you can't really use the term logic. They don't really work to logic. But I would suspect also, let's
Saddam Hussein was telling the truth when he said he had no such WMD. You were lying.
No, well, no, that's not what he said to the world community.
It's true. You were lying then, weren't you, sir?
He was lying either to his... No, come on. And again,
Saddam Hussein was telling the truth at the time, and you, sir, were lying. You and George Bush were lying.
No, that's, again...
You, George Bush, and Dick Cheney sold a murderous war that killed millions of people based on lies. And you should be answering for this in International Criminal Court,
Charlie Rose. Sir, if you want to continue with the propaganda, could you let me answer the question? You act like I was in the room with George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Go ahead, continue with the propaganda.
I was going to say, can I?
Yeah, Mr. Wolf, go ahead.
Mr. Barrett, please sit still. Yes, as I was trying to say, he's used chemical weapons before, and I think part of the reason why Mr. Assad did it was because he thought he could get away with it. And to some respect, I can understand why. You've had a White House that's been rather feckless and non-interventionist. You've had Mr. Obama who's made statements he's not lived up to. So I think he was testing Mr. Obama, and again, to an extent, I can understand why. I don't blame him. Now, Mr. Obama, actually, Obama hasn't been leading on this. As I've been reading in the Times of London,
here,
it was Cameron who called Obama and pulled him in.
Okay, well, I'll just stop you both here, if I may, because it's time to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about this specific issue, and we'll be back.
The war on Syria was a pre-planned scenario a long time ago to topple Assad's government. First, the U.S. and its allies supported the insurgency in the country to exhaust the army and keep it busy in internal fighting. Second, they weakened Syria by a civil war and devastated the economy. Finally, they are after an excuse for a military intervention to change the balance of power to the benefit of the insurgents. The excuse has been made by the Saudi intelligence chief Bandar in the hope to topple Assad before 2014 general election. There is no possibility that the government has conducted the chemical attack, as the site is only 5 kilometers from Damascus, and there is a UN team of investigators, and the army is making advances. If the government was planning for such an attack, it should have conducted it in Aleppo, where it lost grounds and an airbase, and where al-Nusra terrorists are active. Let's be frank and say it. When the U.S. has mandated the Saudi Arabia to take care of the regional issue and the emergence of Bandar al-Sultan, bombings and fightings have escalated, as we have seen in Syria, Egypt, Iraq, and Lebanon. Bandar is repeating the same scenario of Iraq. His tactic is to fake the accusations and then judge based on these false accusations and take action to declare wars by the Saudi money and the West's weapons.
Some of the comments posted on our Facebook page. I go quickly to Mr. Barrett on this, and I'd just like to ask you gentlemen to allow both of you to give your points of view before we run out of time. Kevin Barrett, we had references there to Bandar bin Sultan. What do you think about his role? We are hearing, according to some reports, he's the Saudi intelligence chief, that he was mandated by the U.S. to topple the Syrian government. Do you think there is a role here by Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely. Bandar bin Sultan's nickname here in the U.S. is Bandar Bush. He has been a major operative with the Bush crime family for decades. And he is essentially a front man for the Bush crime family and its allies in the U.S. military intelligence community, who are actually a bunch of traitors who are opposed by all the patriots over here. So it seems quite likely that the treasonous wing of the powers that be here in the U.S. and their Israeli puppet masters have indeed empowered Bandar and his friends to use their considerable corrupt money and influence to try to topple the Assad government. But what's really important here is that the Russians and the Chinese appear to be drawing a line in the sand and saying, no, you can't do this. We let you ravage the Middle East, kill millions in Iraq, destroy Syria, destroy Sudan, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not going to let you destroy Syria and Iran. I'm sorry, but you've gone too far this time. And indeed, the Syrian government knows who its real enemy is. President Assad has said that if there is Western intervention, he will consider it an Israeli strike because he knows exactly who's in control of this effort to overthrow him, and he will target Israel and Iraq, and Lebanon will join him in targeting Israel. Now, this, of course, is risking World War III since Russia and China are backing that alliance of those four countries. It's a terribly dangerous time, and it's very important to demand that the truth about this alleged chemical attack, which echoes all of these nonsense, false stories that we were told about WMD in Iraq that justified U.S. intervention there, the truth about this must be found. Well, there should be no strike until that truth is found.
Mr. Barrett says it's an... Mr. Barrett calls it an alleged chemical attack, yet Medecins Sans Frontières has said these people have died of chemical weapons. The bodies are there. They're real. So, you know, I don't know how you come up with this sort of silliness about the Bush crime family, like Mr. Bush is still in power. You know, again, I'm hearing a lot of conspiracy theory. I'd like to just answer one of the letters, the one that you had at the top. Let me finish my point, Mr. Barrett. One of the letters you had, I think the first one, said that this has been in the planning for years. In actual fact, the Obama administration has been far away from this issue. I would say, and I would argue, the reason the problem is so much more intractable now is because Mr. Obama didn't act a year and a half, 2 years ago in supporting the rebels when he should have to some extent. So now we have a political vacuum, and yes, Al-Qaeda have moved in, and the situation is far more dangerous. I agree with Mr. Barrett on that.
Yes.
And again, that's because we've had a United States that has been feckless for the last 2 years, I should say the last administration and 3 months of its second term.
Well, what's your definition of feckless, sir? Well, if I could just put
not
this question to Mr. Wolf, I'll be back to you, Mr. Barrett.
Is in your book?
Yeah, I'll be back to you, Mr. Barrett. Now, Mr. Wolf,
sorry,
a lot of people are talking here, Mr. Wolf, about the double standards involved as well.
Yes.
Because some people are saying if we are really concerned about civilian lives in Syria, about those who've been affected by this war, we know that the Takfiris, the extremists, the Al-Qaeda linked Al-Nusra Front, they've been committing atrocities in Syria. And we've been seeing this support for them coming in still by both Western states and by regional Arab states. So why shouldn't there be condemnation when it comes to the attacks of the Takfiris or the extremists, but now we're seeing double standards involved?
Well, the largest group has still been the moderates. And again, as I said a minute ago, if the Obama administration had engaged in this a year and a half, 2 years ago, before there was a political vacuum, I think the situation would be much easier. But we've had a situation now where you're seeing mass amounts of refugees flooding over into Jordan, the area being totally destabilized. You're seeing thousands of people being killed. And again, it's because the United States is not engaged to the level it should have probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But getting back to this issue of chemical weapons, again, I think it's pretty clear who's behind it. And a message has to be put out. You can't use chemical weapons with impunity. Otherwise, you're going to find every group wanting to use chemical weapons. We're going to have a situation going back to the Clinton years
where
there were attacks on the United States. Mr. Barrett, come on. I want to have a serious conversion. I don't really want to engage in silliness.
Israel knew exactly who did this five minutes after it happened.
other than I'm dealing with an anti-Semite, I don't know where that adds to the conversation. I'm trying to have a serious conversation.
Israel is,
and I'm getting puppet.
Israel is aligned with the Al Qaeda, so-called rebels in Syria, as you know.
Okay, now a lot of people are asking now, Kevin Barrett, whether we're going to see this military strike take place. There is a lot of anticipation in the air. The thing is, we're hearing Obama talking about target updating. We're hearing the insurgents say they've been consulted about targets. Do you think that despite the consequences which you referred to earlier, that this could turn into a regional war, even you said that a bigger war, do you think despite that the United States is going to strike?
Well, I didn't think so 3 days ago, but I'm becoming more worried because it seems that they're laying all the pieces in place for a strike. And I should defer to Mr. Rose and say that it isn't just the Israelis who are a problem here. It's also the hardline faction here in the U.S. It's very much like the situation in 1962 regarding Cuba and Russia, when the majority of the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted a nuclear war with Russia, a preemptive war to stop Russia from developing a big nuclear arsenal. Today, the U.S. enjoys a massive military advantage on the world, and these crazy people like Lemnitzer, who wanted to incinerate the planet in 1962, are willing to risk incinerating the planet today in order to try to preserve this U.S. hegemony over the world. And it's the Israelis are provoking people like that to try to start this war. And all of us who want peace and stability in the world need
really
to stand
much
up against
input.
Them and tell them, no, we're drawing a red line around Syria.
I don't think
Syria,
the Israelis
no
really have much
in
input
Syria.
On this at all, to tell you the truth. I don't know why you keep bringing Israel into this, because I don't think
the Israelis have completely run U.S. foreign policy since they staged the 9/11 coup d'etat, Mr. Rose.
Yes, but
Obama
Mr.
and Hagel have been holding the line against the neoconservative Israelis
sure
who took over this country in
Bibi
a coup d'etat
Netanyahu,
in 2001.
You want me to believe? You want me to believe that Bibi Netanyahu is pulling the strings with Barack Obama? Now, come on, let's be serious here. I think the question, to get back to your original question,
Netanyahu invented the war on terror in 1979
sort of
at the Jerusalem Conference on International Terrorism.
Maybe, Mr. Barrett, you would be more clear about Israel's role specifically in the Syrian situation right now as well, just to give an answer to that question raised by Mr. Wolf.
Yes, Israel wants to destabilize Syria and destabilize the other Middle Eastern countries. It's the Oded Yinon plan. That's O-D-E-D or O-D-E-T, Y-I-N-O-N. Look for that in a search engine. Israel's strategic doctrine is to break up its neighboring countries into small, balkanized, ethnic and sectarian units. That's what they're trying to do in Syria. It is the Israelis who are behind the destabilization of Syria for obvious geostrategic reasons.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time. I've got to thank
both
of our guests now.
So you're telling me the moderate rebels, are working with
you.
The Israelis when they were actually calling for democracy?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
A big thank you to both of
our here. I feel sorry for your audience.
Al-Qaeda is an Israeli operation.
This argument is going to continue, so I've got to stop you here. We are out of time. A big thank you to Charlie Wolf, writer and broadcaster with us there from London, and in Madison, Dr. Kevin Barrett, author and Middle East expert. Thank you so much for being with us. That is the end of this edition of The Debate from Michal Maleski. Until our next program, it's goodbye.